പേരിൽ ടോണി മോറിസൺ. അതോറിറ്റേറിയൻ റെജിംസ്, ഡിക്റ്റേറ്റേഴ്സ്, ഡെസ്പോട്സ് ആർ ഓഫൺ ബട്ട് നോട്ട് ഓൾവേസ് ഫൂൾസ്. ബട്ട് നൺ ഈസ് ഫൂളിഷ് എനഫ് ടു ഗിവ് പെർസ്പെക്റ്റീവ് ഡെസിഡൻ്റ് റൈറ്റേഴ്സ് ഫ്രീ റേഞ്ച് ടു പബ്ലിഷ് ദർ ജഡ്ജ്മെൻറ്റ്സ് ഓർ ഫോളോ ദർ ക്രിയേറ്റീവ് ഇൻസ്റ്റിങ്സ്. They know they do so at their own peril. They are not stupid enough to abandon control over media. Their methods include surveillance, censorship, arrest, even slaughter of those righteous informing and disturbing the public. Righteous who are unsettling, calling into question, taking another deeper look. Writers, journalists, essayists, bloggers, poets, playwrights can disturb the social oppression that function like a coma on the population. A coma despot called peace, and they stanch the blood flow of war that hawks and profiteers thrill to. That is their peril. Hawes is of another sort. How bleak, unlivable, insufferable existence becomes when we are deprived of hard work. That the life and the work of writers facing peril must be protected is urgent. But along with the urgency, we should remind ourselves that their absence, the choking off of a righteous work, its cruel amputation, is of equal peril to us. The rescue we extend to them is a generosity to ourselves. We all know nations that can be identified by the flight of writers from their shores. These are regimes whose fear of unmonitored writing is justified because truth is troubled. It is trouble for the warmonger, the torturer, the cooperative thief, the political hack, the corrupt justice system, and for a comatose public. Unpersecuted, unjailed, unharassed writers are troubled for ignorant bully, the sly racist, and the productive feeding of the world's resources. The alarm, the disquiet, writers raise is instructive because it is open and vulnerable, because if unpolished, it is threatening. Therefore, the historical suppression of writers is the earliest harbinger of the steady peeling away of additional rights and liberties that will follow. The history of persecuted writers is as long as the history of literature itself, and the efforts to censor, starve, regulate, and annihilate us are clear signs that something important has taken place. Cultural and political forces can sweep clean all but the safe, old but state-approved art. I have been told that there are two human responses to the perception of chaos: naming and violence. When the chaos is simply the unknown, the naming can be accomplished effortlessly. A new species, star, formula, equation, prognosis. There is also mapping, charting, or devising proper nouns for unnamed or stripped of names, geography, landscape, or population. When chaos resists, either by reforming itself or by rebelling against imposed order, violence is understood to be the most frequent response and most rational when confronting the unknown, the catastrophic, the wild, abandoned, or incorrigible. Rational responses may be censure, incarceration in holding la camps, prisons, or death singly or in war. There is, however, a third response to chaos which I have not heard about, which is stillness. Such stillness can be passivity and dumbfoundedness. It can be paralytic fear, but it can also be art. Those writers plying their craft near to or far from the throne of raw power, of military power, of member building and counting houses, writers who construct meaning in the face of chaos must be nurtured, protected. And it is right that such protection be initiated by other writers. And it is imperative not only to save the beside writers, but to save ourselves. The thought that leads me to contemplate with dread the ratio of other voices, of unwritten novels, poems whispered or swallowed for fear of being overheard by the wrong people, outlawed languages nourishing underground, essayists, questions challenging authority never being posed, unstaged plays, cancelled films. That thought is a nightmare, as though a whole universe is being described in invisible ink. Certain kinds of trauma visited on people are so deep, so cruel, that unlike money, unlike vengeance, even unlike justice or rights or the goodwill of others, only writers can translate such trauma and turn sorrow into meaning, sharpening the moral imagination. A writer's life and work are not a gift to mankind, they are its necessity.